I now bring you a message called The Real Savior. We're answering the question, what child is this? When you take a look at a nativity scene at Christmas, whether it be in someone's home, whether it's in a church, or on someone's lawn, as you know today, they have life-size figurines of all the characters of Christmas. But when you take a look at a nativity scene at Christmas, you get the impression that these were people that didn't have any problems, any issues, didn't have anything going on in their life that was difficult or any dilemmas. It appears from a nativity scene that everything was peaceful, calm, serene, and sanitized. I mean, a good example of that would be Mary. When you take a look at the figurine of Mary, it looks like she's had the most miraculous recovery of any woman in history who's given birth. Now, that may be so, and we do honor the earthly mother of Jesus, but it appears that the first Christmas was calm, serene, sanitized, without problems and issues. But I'm here to tell you tonight that at the real Christmas, that first Christmas, these were real people in real life who had real difficulties, real trials, real trouble, real trials in their lives. Good example of that would be Mary and Joseph. You know, Mary and Joseph were likely teenagers, and they were engaged to get married. They're from a small town. All of a sudden, Mary becomes pregnant by means of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph is told the same thing in a dream and not to break it off the engagement with Mary. And you can imagine what kind of rift or what kind of baggage that would have in a small town. And then all of a sudden, they hear this decree that Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor, has called for a census as the Romans dominated the world at that time. And you had to go home to your hometown. Joseph was from Bethlehem, and he takes Mary with them, and she's probably in her 9th month of pregnancy, and they travel 70 miles from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. And then when they show up in Bethlehem, it's time for her to give birth to the child. But there's no place for them to go. There's no hospital. There's no clinic. There's no doctor. There's no nurses. All they could go to is a smelly, stinky stable. And inside that stable is where she gives birth. Now, we don't know, but it is a possibility that Joseph was the one who delivered the baby. So we can see just from these two characters, and there's many others, these are real people in real life with real dilemmas and real difficulty, and they needed the real Savior. And I would say that all of us here tonight, we can identify with those first people at that first Christmas because we're real people, are we not? We've got real difficulty, real issues, stuff going on in our lives. And just like them, we need the real Savior. And that's what this message is about tonight. The whole focus is on the real Savior for real people in real life. Well, we begin answering the question, what child is this? In order to identify the real Savior, we've got to travel way back in history, over 700 years before the real Savior was even born. There was this guy, his name was Isaiah. He was a prophet or spokesman for God. He spoke on behalf of God. And he was going around to the people at that time telling them, someday God is going to send a deliverer. He's going to send a Savior, the anointed one called Messiah. And one of the predictions that he made was this. It's in a book in our Bible in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. Did you get that? A virgin is going to be pregnant, and she's going to give birth to a son, and that son will be God with us. Then later on, he gets a further revelation from God about this child to be born. It's recorded in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. He's so sure this is going to come true, he writes it in the prophetic present. He writes, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's called Wonderful because he will be awe-inspiring. He's called Counselor because he's going to provide great wisdom and knowledge. He is going to be the Mighty God. The word mighty means hero. That God is going to come in this child to save the day. He's going to be an everlasting Father, a nurturing, loving, compassionate Father over his children forever. And he will be Prince of Peace. He's coming to rule and reign. And where he rules and where he reigns in the hearts of those who believe, there will be shalom, which is the harmony of all things. And of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. These are the bold predictions that Isaiah made about the real Savior. And we ask ourselves, how would this ever come true? But then it did. And it all happened in one remarkable moment. Now, as far as moments are concerned, this moment was like any other moment on the timeline of history. But in this moment, something incredible, something miraculous, something awesome occurred. God's Spirit entered the womb of a teenage girl by the name of Mary. And inside that womb, a baby was conceived, fully God and fully human. And that baby began to develop and began to grow 2 eyebrows, 2 kidneys, a spleen, toes, and ears, and mouth, and nose, and feet and hands. And soon a baby was born, fully God, fully human. There was a guy by the name of Matthew. He was a core disciple of Jesus, and he wrote one of the 4 credible written eyewitness biographies of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in it, he likely had interviewed or knew Joseph, because he writes from Joseph's perspective. And this is what he says about the fulfillment of the prophecy. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. That's the key phrase. She was found to be pregnant by means of the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said. "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit." Again, the key phrase, the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And then later, the Bible tells us, at the right time, God sent his son, born of a woman. In Philippians 2, 6 and 7, it says, "Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be held on to. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." And what we discover about the real Savior is simply this. That little baby born in Bethlehem in that manger was God. God became one of us. You know, one of the decisions, and sometimes agonizing decision, that parents make is the naming of their child. Many of you that are here tonight went through that yourselves. You know what I'm talking about. We have to decide, what are you going to name your daughter? What will you name your son? Well, just for fun's sake here, I guess, here are the top 4 baby names of 2015. For males, it's Noah, Liam, Mason, and Jacob. For females, Emma, Olivia, Sophia, and Ava. Now, when you take a look at these names, and you name a child one of these names, it really doesn't tell you much about the child, does it? If you name your child Liam, what does that really say about that child? We really don't know. Now, I tell you that because in ancient times, in biblical times, names were very important because the name would describe something about that person. It may say something about the essence or about the future or about how it was born or what the future might hold for that particular child. I tell you that because the name that is going to be given to the real Savior is very important, because it's going to have substance, it's going to have meaning to it. Well, what is the name of the real Savior? Well, what Matthew tells us in his gospel is that God already picked out the name, and the angel just reported it to Joseph. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus, or Joshua in the Old Testament, and it can be pronounced Yeshua, it means the Lord's salvation. And the angel gave the definition. His name is Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Right from the beginning, God wants everyone to know, via the angel of the Lord, the mission and the purpose of the Savior coming into the world. God became one of us. Why? He came to die for us. And that brings us to the cross of Christ. Now, as you look at this beautiful scenery up here, this was from our great Christmas program that we had two Sundays ago. It was just fabulous. You can see right down here we have the manger representing the birth of Jesus. But notice right behind the manger is the cross of Christ. The manger is in the shadow of the cross. This is God becoming one of us, and this represents his mission. Because when the time was right, according to God the Father's plan, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, willingly allowed sinful men to arrest him and then brutalize him. And then he was crucified, meaning he was executed on a cross. And he willingly allowed that to happen because it was God the Father's plan. Because on that cross, you know, when Jesus died on that cross, he paid the punishment that you and I deserve for our sin. He took our place. Sin is simply all the bad things we say, do, and think. And we all do it, do we not? Can I hear an amen to that? We all mess up, and we're all accountable to God. But you don't have to pay the punishment. You know why? Because Jesus paid the punishment for you on the cross. He died in your place. And that's why the Bible says this, the most popular, most famous Bible verse is John 3:16. Do you know it? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. When it says God loved the world, that means people like you and me, you know, real people in real life. So much so that he sacrificed his own son Jesus on the cross, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Did you notice that the cross is empty? That's because when Jesus died, he defeated death and came back alive again. These are historical facts that can be proven in history. Jesus lived, died, and rose again out of love for you and me. The Bible says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not only did God become one of us, but God came into the world to save us. Here's the word with. You've probably seen this word before, haven't you? It's a small little word. It's only got four letters to it, W-I-T-H. It's a preposition. It's a connecting word. It connects two nouns or two pronouns together. But this word is essential in the Christmas story in uncovering who the real Savior is. What child is this? Well, Matthew goes on. This is one of the core disciples. He writes in his biography of Jesus, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Do you notice that? Emmanuel is what? God with us. You know what that means? You know what he's telling us? God desires to have a personal friendship with us. God desires to have a personal relationship with us. God wants to know you personally. God wants to be connected with us in a friendship and a relationship. That's what we're being told. My wife Jody and I, we're going through a marriage book together. And just by the way, I have a wonderful wife. Just want everybody to know that. I have a wonderful wife. We're going through this marriage book. It's called Love and War by John and Stacy Eldridge. And it's great to do a little tune-up with your marriage. Guys, listen up, and gals. And in this book, the authors are convinced that in order to have a thriving, successful marriage, both the husband and the wife need to have a personal relationship with God. Notice what the author says. Get to the page. This is what they say in their recommendation for marriage. God wants an intimate relationship with us. He is not a God who's far away. He's a God who will make us his dwelling place. We can become the temple of the Lord. When by faith we confess that Jesus is Lord, he comes and makes his home in us. He could not be any closer. To talk to God, we don't have to shout. For the creator of the universe to hear us, we don't have to yell. Rather, to speak to him, we just quiet ourselves. He is our breath. He is in our every heartbeat. He tells us, be still and know that I am God. God wants an intimate relationship with us. That's what Emmanuel means. That's what Emmanuel is all about. You see, the fact is, Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship. You know, religion simply defined as people's attempt to try to please God, be accepted by God, get approved by God through good works, through religious rituals, trying to go to the right church, saying the right prayer, all these things you got to do. Christianity is vastly different. Christianity is God reaching down his hand to real people in real life with real problems and real difficulties and saying, I love you. By faith, take my hand, and I will lift you up, and I will embrace you, and you'll have a lifelong, intimate, personal friendship and relationship with me, one that will last forever. That's what Christianity is. It's a relationship with God. And how do you establish a relationship with God? The Bible tells us that if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's how the Bible tells us how you can establish a personal relationship with God. God can actually be with us in an intimate, personal friendship. At the end of this book, they want to make it clear that any person can come to know Jesus. Any person can come to have Jesus in their life, and you can have that relationship. It's interesting, in this book at the end, they have a prayer. It's a prayer to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. I think it's a good one. I'd like to read it to you, and then I'd like to pray the prayer for you and for me here tonight. Listen to this prayer to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross to rescue me from sin and death and to restore me to the Father. I choose now to turn from my sins, my self-centeredness, and every part of my life that does not please you. I choose you, Jesus. I receive your forgiveness and ask you to take your rightful place in my life as my Savior and Lord. Come, reign in my heart. Fill me with your love and your life. And help me to become a person who is truly loving. Help me to become a person like you. Restore me, Jesus. Live in me, Jesus. Love through me, Jesus. Thank you, God, for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, this is a beautiful prayer, and it can be prayed by any person. Whether you're a child here tonight, whether you're an adult, doesn't matter your age. Anybody can open up their heart to receive Jesus and believe on His name. Am I speaking to you tonight? Maybe you're such a person. Maybe it's been a while since you prayed and you invited Jesus into your life. Maybe you want to invite Him to come back in. Maybe you want to do it for the first time. Maybe you want to experience this real Savior. Maybe you want to have God be with you in a powerful way. Maybe you're looking for God to answer your prayer. Maybe you want to just have a friendship with God. Maybe you just want to have that intimate relationship that is offered to you by Emmanuel, God with us. And so I invite you right now to join me. I'm going to pray this prayer. And you can recite the prayer to yourself. You don't have to say it out loud. But if you right now want to receive Jesus and make things right with Him tonight, there's no better night than Christmas to accept Christ. Christmas is a great time to accept Christ. So let's all close our eyes in prayer, put aside thoughts of the people around us. If you want to fold your hands in reverence to God, I'm going to just slowly pray this prayer. And you can pray this prayer along with me. Jesus, I believe You are the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross to rescue me from sin and death. I believe You want to restore me to my Father God. I choose now to turn from my sins, my self-centeredness, in every part of my life that does not please You. I choose You, Lord Jesus. I receive Your forgiveness. And I ask You to take the rightful place in my life as my Savior and Lord. Come reign in my heart. Fill me with Your love and with Your life. Help me to become a person who is truly loving, a person like You. Restore me, Jesus. Live in me, Jesus. Love through me, Jesus. Thank You, God, for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, if you prayed that prayer for the first time tonight, we certainly would love to know about it. We'd love to get you a part of a nice Christian fellowship. We got something special going on here. It's a loving church family. We'd love to talk to you about that and love to help you with that. You know, when you pray that prayer, when you open up your heart to Jesus, you know what happens? You become a forgiven friend of God forever because God came to be with us. That's what Emmanuel means. So we ask the question tonight, what child is this? Who is the real Savior? God became one of us. God came to save us. God came to be with us.